Well, amen. I like that line. It said, Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. And thank God for that. Well, if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. And I want to preach to you a message this morning called Complete Thanksgiving. Complete Thanksgiving. And we're going to dig out of the text. We're going to ask the question of, what does complete Thanksgiving look like? And then why Thanksgiving matters, why complete Thanksgiving matters. And then we're going to dig into those two areas. Every church, setting I have had the privilege to serve, you learn and the Lord equips and grows you in different ways. Actually, I'm excited. After we finish here, Deidre and I are going to go over to Branch. They're celebrating 150 years as a church. That's pretty neat. And so we're going to go over just for a brief time and then be back this afternoon. But every area, every church, the Lord equips you different things and works different things into your heart and into your life. And one of the churches that Deidre and I got to serve in, it's called Miracle Baptist Church, and it met there in the Inner City Outreach Center. It's a part of Ronnie Tullis's ministry there in Memphis that they planted that church, started that church. And so just real strong, poverty-stricken. It's backside of Claiborne Homes there. And so all Section A housing and just a lot of poverty, a lot of struggle, and a lot of hardships, a lot of things that they face that we often don't think about. One of the things that still sticks with me, I enjoy cold weather, enjoy springtime, but now since serving there, even springtime is the temperatures begin to heat up and get pushed into summer. It always caught my attention that whenever we would have our prayer meetings, as it got into summertime, summertime for them often meant that there was more hostility, there was more activity, and oftentimes they would say in a circle, chances are that by the end of the summer, one of us is not going to be here. Just the crime and the different things going on, and it changes your perspective, how you see life. But one of the common themes was we would stand up and have our services, and at times people would stand for an opportunity for testimony, and they would stand and speak, and you know, 40 or 50, 60 in attendance, sometimes 80 maybe, and somebody would stand up, and almost without failure, this is the way that the testimony would start. It didn't matter what the testimony was about, but they would stand up and say, hey, I want to say this morning, first, I thank God that He woke me up this morning. Without exception, no. I mean, I'm trying not to overstate this, but nearly every single time, every single testimony stood up and said, I want to thank God for waking me up this morning. I'll be honest with you. That's the only church I've ever served in where there was a genuine heart day in and day out, maybe I should say an expressed heart of genuine thanksgiving for some of the basic necessities and basic parts of life. Because unfortunately, for me and my family, and maybe you struggle with this too, the Lord has blessed us with so much, I don't sometimes think about how blessed I am for the basic necessities of life. The very fact that somebody, we would say it like this, somebody didn't wake up this morning. Now, as a believer, hallelujah, but there's some families that are struggling this morning because they found a loved one who didn't wake up. And the most of the known world is not enjoying electricity. They don't have a microphone. They don't have heat and air. They don't have a building to protect them from the elements to worship in this morning. And they would say, first I want to say, I thank God for waking me up this morning. And I want to thank God for giving me a sound mind. Now, I know it. You're already thinking it. It's almost a sound mind, okay? I almost have a sound mind. But this morning, I just want to challenge us and say, listen, we need to dig into this text and think about how grateful are we? How thankful are we? And so Psalm 100, if you have found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Let's pray. Lord, we want to pause here and first say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God Almighty. I pray, God, you would hide me behind your cross and fill me with your Spirit. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Give me grace to preach as a dying man to a dying people about the risen Savior. And I pray when we leave here today, we would be a people with a full heart of thanksgiving. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And yes, I haven't looked at the calendar wrong. I realize Thursday is not Thanksgiving. You got another week, okay? And by the way, I'm fired up about our Thanksgiving potluck. What more could you want? Turkey and dressing and gravy. I went to seminary with a fellow that said gravy's my favorite beverage. I like that, I guarantee you. So I hope you'll come and be with us, opportunity for fellowship. But if you're taking notes this morning and just highlight some ideas here, the main idea of the text is God deserves our thanks. God deserves our thanks, our thanksgiving, our appreciation. The question of the text this morning is who or what are you most thankful for? And I realize most of us, if we get down to it, yes, we are thankful for things. But as we walk through this, I just wonder how expressive are we in our thanksgiving? It's been said like this, and this is tough. Nothing is sharper than the tooth of ungratefulness. We've experienced that, right? We've gone above and beyond to help somebody, to help meet a need, to help be a blessing to them. And they've taken it, and not one thanks, not one thing of appreciation. And most of us are the same way. You don't do it for the appreciation, but man, it goes a long way when folks are appreciative. Makes you want to help them, makes you want to be a blessing. And God isn't in need of our thanksgiving. It doesn't make Him less of a God if we're not showing our appreciation thanksgiving, but we as His creation have a responsibility. We need to be appreciative and thankful for all that God has done in our lives and is doing in our lives. And you may jot this idea down, and this kind of helps set the tone for the rest of the message. I didn't put it in your notes, but just as I was studying, this is the thought that comes to mind, is the presence of God is manifested under the umbrella of thanksgiving. The presence of God is manifested under the umbrella of thanksgiving. What do I mean? Man, you want to experience God. You want to see God work and God move and be a blessing. Man, be a thankful person. Be appreciative. Demonstrate your thanksgiving to a holy God. You want to, you know, not experience God, not see God, not be, allow God to work and move in your life. Be ungrateful. Be arrogant. Be prideful. All of those things. Those things flow out of an ungrateful heart. And so, number one, the first question I want to ask this morning is, what does complete thanksgiving look like? What does complete thanksgiving look like? And we're going to just take verse by verse, just walk through this text and highlight some ideas. And so, A, thanksgiving includes a joyful noise. a joyful noise. Look at verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Now, I know we're good Southern Baptists, so that shout, surely that's got to be Hebrew for something else, because we don't shout in church, except for preacher. But he says, shout to the Lord. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, God. And we need to make a joyful noise. A thanksgiving heart will be joyful and will demonstrate that through a joyful noise unto the Lord. Yes, I've been told often, Chris, it's called make a joyful noise, not a terrible racket. Okay? Whenever I sing. All right? I'm not a good singer. I'm not going to win any awards. Al Ray's not going to let me in the choir, except for I'm the preacher, and he's kind every now and then. But listen, dear friend, if it flows out of a heart of thanksgiving, God is pleased in that. He is honored in that. And so, friend, I just want to challenge you this morning as we worship the Lord, as we sing, even this morning, we sing about, man, what a fountain that the fountain of the blood of Christ has redeemed us, has set us free. One day we'll be sin free. We'll enter into the presence of Almighty God. We sing about death was arrested and my life began, and that, man, what a joy it is for salvation. And man, we ought to sing and rejoice in that. Now, here's where it gets tough. People tell me, it doesn't matter. We could sing out of an 1857 hymnal, or we could sing only songs that have been written in 2019. And there will be people who still come up to me, either one, and make a comment, "Oh, preacher, we didn't sing any hymns today. Oh, preacher, we didn't sing anything older than 2019, or we didn't sing anything written in this generation or this 100 years, whatever it is." Listen, dear friend, I understand we all have our preferences, and I'm honest with you, we don't sing all my favorite songs all the time. But this is what I know, if you have been redeemed and you are appreciative and thankful for what God has done, we need to sing unto the Lord and worship Him and enjoy Him. Our thanksgiving cannot be based on the songs, the lyrics that were written alone. I didn't get many amens, I know it. That's tough. And I realize that worship, listen, one thing I appreciate about Brother Al Ray, he'll tell you often, listen, the pastor is the worship leader, because worship is more than singing. But listen to me, dear friend, it's not less than either. And so whatever it is, whatever your preference is, I understand we all have our preferences and what we choose, and you have your favorite number one station when you get in your vehicle. But I'm telling you, friend, when we gather together, whenever you're in your own quiet time, whatever it is, we need to make a joyful shout unto the Lord. Worship the Lord Jesus because of all that He is and all that He's done in our lives. Amen? Psalm 32:11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. We had, not long after I'd moved to Victory, Brother Ronnie Johnson invited me to come back to Miracle and preach. And so we load a van full of folks up, and we went and had church at Miracle of Redemption is what it's called now, and just a time of worship. And I'm going to tell you, if you've never had the pleasure, and I mean this with all my heart, if you've never had the pleasure of worshiping in a black church or even ethnically different, man, white folks are boring when they have church. I'm sorry, we just are. But boy, there's a joy, there's a jubilation, there's an excitement about worshiping God when they come together. And so we went to Miracle Redemption. I stood up, I said, folks, I brought folks from Victory so we'd learn how to have church this morning. Man, there's a joy, there's an excitement that I realize we all have. We are who we are. We don't need to be anybody different than who God created us to be. So don't misunderstand me. But I'm just telling you that when we have a thankful heart, it includes joy. And singing unto the Lord and worshiping the Lord. So, thanksgiving includes a joyful noise. B, thanksgiving includes service. Thanksgiving includes service. Look at verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord. It's a command. It's not even like this is a good thing to do when you are thankful. It's just understood out of a thankful heart, we serve the Lord. Dear friend, I want to challenge you that if you have a heart of thanksgiving, then you want to serve God. It's not trying to earn back this grace or favor or trying to repay God for what He's done. We can never repay God for what He's done in our lives. The debt would be too big. And that's not what the grace, that's not what the gospel's about. The gospel says you couldn't earn it. That's exactly why I've died on the cross for you and provide a salvation you could not earn. And He saved you not so that you could continually be in debt to Him to try to earn that grace and that favor back or repay that, but rather He has set us free. But in our freedom, because I'm thankful that death was arrested and my life began, man, I want to serve Jesus. He set me free for that service. He's liberated me for that service. So I would challenge you this morning, if you'd say, yes, I'm thankful for what God has done, then the challenge is, how are you serving Him? Are you serving Him, or are you just a consumer? Just come and take and take and take and take and never give back. Or are you conduit? Man, as God has blessed and ministered to you, you serve Him. And man, you just try to be a blessing to others. You serve Him. And how do you serve Him? You serve Him through the local church. Many, many, many of you do that here this morning, and I'm so grateful. One of the things that we're going to look at this evening in our business meeting and the agenda is a list of committees and teams that many are added coming in January to 2020, and that list is full of so many. Many of your names are on that list. To serve in different ways, in different capacities. Many of you serve as greeters in so many different ways, and I'm thankful for that. I just want to challenge you, how are you serving the Lord? Thanksgiving includes service. Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. As you serve God on whatever team or committee you serve as a greeter, you serve, however you serve in and through our church, do it as to the Lord and not to men. Don't do it because a preacher asks you. Don't do it because a committee asks you. But you say, I'm thankful for all that God has done in my life. I'm thankful for bringing Him bringing me here. I need to serve the Lord, and I want to serve the Lord faithfully and graciously. So C, thanksgiving includes coming to the Lord. Notice the text in verse 2. He says, serve the Lord with gladness and then come before His presence with singing. There's a coming to the Lord. There's this intimacy. So as God has saved me, God has blessed me, God has provided for me, He has woken me up, He has given me a sound mind, I have a roof over my head, I have running water, I have electricity, I have clothes, I have food in my belly. I'm thankful for these things. And so as God has moved and ministered to me, it makes me want to know Him more, be more intimate to Him, with Him. And so come to Him. And so He says, come before His presence with singing. You know what He's saying? God enjoys that intimacy. As you make a joyful shout to the Lord and you sing to the Lord, and it's a beautiful picture. As I have a heart of thanksgiving and I worship the Lord, I do it in joy. I'm singing to the Lord. This intimacy, man, what God begins to do, He goes, I like that. Man, He wants to meet you. He wants that fellowship. He wants that closeness with you. Notice over in 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 2. And Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and the Levites according to their divisions, each man according to his service. The priests and Levites, notice what they are appointed for. For burnt offerings, for peace offerings, to serve, to give thanks, and to praise in the gates of the camp of the Lord. You know what they knew? Man, we want God to dwell in this place. We want to have this intimacy with God. We're going to appoint people, and there's some different things they're responsible, and one of those things is they're responsible to demonstrate our giving of thanks to God. Come to God with thanks. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Complete thanksgiving includes coming to the Lord. D, thanksgiving includes knowing. Look at verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. There's but one God in all the world. And all the universe. Now there are many gods, little g, but there's one God, one creator, one sustainer, one Yahweh. Heart of thanksgiving wants to know God, know more of Him, know of His character, know of His goodness, know of His grace, know of His mercy. Psalm 95, verse 6, Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. If anybody in this place, say, man, Brother Chris, I just love to know more of God, more of who He is, more of what He's done. Let me hear you. Let me encourage you. You want to know more of God, spend more time here. The character and the person of God leaps off the pages of Scripture. The more you know of the Scripture, the more time you spent in the Scripture, is the more you'll know of God. And by the way, I think it'll be the more thankful you are for who He is. Yes, be thankful for what God has done, but be thankful for who He is. That He is a God of holiness. He is a God of justice. He is a God of mercy. He is love. He's a God of kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. You want to know God, know Him through His Word, day in and day out. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He's the one that created you. Scripture says He has before appointed the bounds of our habitation. He's given you the first breath you ever had. He is going to give you every breath until the last one you take. The reason you're able to put thoughts and ideas together, the reason you're able to remember things is because God has given you a mind to do so. The reason you are here this morning is God gave you the grace and the ability to get up out of your bed and get here. May we know Him and know Him more. E, thanksgiving includes His presence. So He says in verse 3, Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. It's not knowing who we are in that. Verse 4, Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. When we begin, we come into the presence of God, we do it through thanksgiving. I enjoyed this morning as we led in, just having a time where we're really intentional about what we are thankful for. I think this is one of the keys about your prayer life. You want God to be there. You want God to meet you in your time of prayer. Just real simply, this is all free. You may jot this down. Use the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, when you pray. A stands for adoration. That's worship. C stands for confession. T stands for thanksgiving. And S stands for supplication. Let me tell you what happens. When you begin to worship God, A, adoration, you worship God, goes... He inhabits the praises of His people. Boy, He likes that. But when you get in this, so God meets with you, and then when the presence of God gets around your life and you get in the midst of the presence of God, there's always conviction of sin. Look at the Scripture. Anytime a man got in the presence of God, there was a humbling and there was a conviction. And so then when the presence of God gets in your life, you confess sin. But then as you're in the presence of God, you've confessed sin, your heart is clean, your conscience is clear, you become overwhelmed with the goodness of God and you begin thanking God. And man, there's that presence, that intimacy, that knowing God. You want to experience God in worship, in corporate worship. Long before you enter those doors, begin thanking God for who He is and for what He's done. Look at Psalm 116. Just a few pages over. Beginning in verse 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. You don't, listen, here's the reality. We don't always necessarily feel thankful. So I think here it's called a sacrifice of thanksgiving because a sacrifice is a picture of sometimes I don't want to do it. Sometimes I don't feel it. Listen, as Christians, you've got to mature past the point of only doing things when you feel like it. You'll mature, listen, this is good. You'll mature as a Christian. You'll grow if you'll start doing and being obedient to the things of God, even when it doesn't feel good. That is, I get up and come to church, even on days I don't necessarily feel like it. I go and serve the Lord, even on times when I don't necessarily feel like it. I read my Bible. I pray when I don't necessarily feel like it. That's the seasons of growth. That's the measures of growth. And so he says, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. So thanksgiving includes entering His presence. F, thanksgiving includes praising Him. In verse 4, Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. You just worship Him. Praise God for who He is. That He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, the Prince of the Peace, the Great I Am, the Good Shepherd, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Father to the fatherless. There's so much we just praise God for. So much that we need to praise God for. That's why I think as a church family, we've got to be careful. Even as Christians, we've got to be careful about investing too much in a style of worship because people all over the world use all different styles, all different genres, all different types and worship God. Ultimately, it comes down to the content. Are we worshiping God for who He is and how Scripture's revealed Him? And so we praise Him. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Boy, did you, as you sang this morning, as you worship God, we had a time of singing and singing praise unto God. Did you think about it in terms, I'm offering you the fruit of my lips? We don't think about that often, do we? But as I sing unto you, God, this is my offering. This is the way that I'm worshiping you. This is the way I'm giving to you. This is the way I'm praising you this morning. So, G, thanksgiving includes adoring Him. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise, be thankful to him and bless his name. I'll be honest with you, when I, as I grew and began to hear, and particularly at Miracle, there was a guy that led the singing there, and a music minister that he would say, you know, say often, well, we bless your name. And well, at times that, it's like, how do I bless the name of God? That's strange or foreign. But then as I read and studied and looking at this, it's adoring God. It's being in awe of God. And it's just another form of worship. And so here the psalmist says, bless his name. Look over at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. At verse 20. Then David said to all the assembly, now bless the Lord your God. So all in the assembly blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. So there they were all together, and he says, bless God. You need to bless God is the command. And he tells them, and so they all lay themselves out, they lay on their face, and they worship God there together. They adore God. So thanksgiving includes adoring him. And then number two. Don't worry, there's not as many points under number two, okay? Yeah. Number two, why does complete thanksgiving matter? Verse 5. God is good. Notice first part of verse 5. For the Lord is good. What? It doesn't get much simpler than that, yet at the same time, it doesn't get much more complete than that. That the Lord is good. All that He does is good. He can't do anything wrong. He can't do anything bad. He's the definer of good. And so the Lord really is good. Obviously, most of us grew up in a day and time where, it was hard if a preacher got to a point, even, you know, we'd say, all right, God is good, and all the time. And we don't do it as much anymore, but, even early on, Branch did it religiously, and so you'd even be preaching, and you'd say, God is good, and boy, somebody'd interject in, and then, hear it, like, commented in the background or whatever it was. But real simply, the Lord is good. That's why. That's why we ought to be thankful. That's why we serve Him. That's why we worship Him. That's why we praise Him. That's why we adore Him. The Lord is good. Psalm 119, verse 68, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Out of the character of His goodness, He does good things. Sometimes I think we struggle to understand just how good God is. Not just how good God is to us, but in general, how good God is. Think about in your own heart and in your own life how He was patient with you, how He loves you, how He cares for you, how He pursued you, how His desire for you is good, His thoughts towards you are good. This morning we need to remember, we're thankful because God is good. And MB, I like this, God's goodness never quits. It doesn't shut off. Man, there's no shut off valve. The breaker's never thrown. What other cheesy example I could throw in? God's goodness never quits. Notice verse 5. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting. It never quits. It never runs dry. It's never finished. Psalm 103, verse 17, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children." See, God created everything. God created time. God steps outside of time. He is, He was, He will always be. He is always good. He has never ceased to be good. He will never cease to be good. God's goodness never quits. Hey, dear friend, you can't outrun His goodness. Now, don't do that. That makes you squeal. As children of God, as believers, we sin against God. Is there chastening from the Lord? Is there discipline from the Lord? Absolutely. But it doesn't mean He stops being good. Matter of fact, that's a demonstration of His goodness. He really does love you. He really does care for you. He really does want you to be conformed to the image of His Son. And His goodness never quits. It never runs dry. See, final point. And all God's people said amen. God's truth lasts forever. So why are we a heart of thanksgiving? Because God is good, His goodness never quits, and His truth lasts for all eternity. Notice in Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 13, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you.'" This is a reflection of His goodness. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. "For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath, the confirmation is for them to end all disputes." So he's saying, when people make a promise or they swear by something, they try to do something greater than themselves. But God swears by Himself because there's nothing greater. And so notice verse 17. "Thus, God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel." The inability for Him to be wrong. You can't charge anything against Him. The immutability confirmed it by an oath, "that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us." All of that God is good, it never quits, and His Word, His truth is never wrong. It never ceases. That's why we're thankful. It's out of that heart of thanksgiving. We worship God, we praise God, we adore God, we serve God, we sing to God. Because God is good. And He is always good. And His truth declares to us that He is always good. And so, church family, this morning, do you have a complete heart of thanksgiving? People who are unthankful suck the life out of you, don't they? Because people who are unthankful tend to be critical. Try to help them, and they fuss about how you help. They fuss about how you did it or how you didn't do it. And just critical. It makes it miserable. Makes you not want to be a blessing to them. Makes you not want to be around them. Thank God for His goodness. He doesn't run from my heart. He doesn't abandon me when I'm critical or unthankful. But I'm telling you, He inhabits the praises of His people, and He inhabits the praises of those whenever we are incredibly thankful. So my challenge to you this morning is, who or what are you thankful for? And have you been demonstrating that thankfulness? Do you sing unto the Lord? Do you worship the Lord? Do you serve the Lord? Now let me be really clear. How you sing and how you worship is different, okay? I realize somebody's heart and spirit of thanksgiving and worship, it may not be standing there with two arms raised as high as you can, crying and all that kind of thing. That may or may not be worship. It's not the definition of worship. That's an expression individually. Now, there are things, the Scripture says, God does things in order. We need to do things in such a way that honor God and that are in order. But somebody can be standing there, singing unto the Lord, seemingly emotionless in terms of what's expressed on their face. Their heart is absolutely full of thanksgiving. And God is honored through that just as much. And God is honored by somebody faithfully serving the Lord. So I want to be careful. But just who or what are you thankful for this morning? And is that evident in your life? Let's pray. God, I thank You for Your grace and mercy. I thank You for this time. And I pray, God, if there's anybody here this morning, and God in heaven is just ultimately, they've never bowed their knee to You. They've never surrendered to You for salvation. God, I pray that You would stir their heart this morning. You would draw them to Yourself. Convict them of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Give them grace to repent and believe on You. Work during this time, I pray. And I pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. With head bowed, this is a time of invitation for you. God spoke to your heart this morning about salvation, and you come. You just come, say, hey, Brother Chris, I need to talk about salvation. And we'll make sure and do that. But this invitation is open for Christians too. God spoke to your heart. Maybe you've been struggling with the heart of being unthankful or ungrateful. Or God revealed something in your heart this morning, then you come. And it may be that your just heart is overwhelmed by how thankful you are. And you just want to come to the altar and you just want to worship the Lord for a moment and be thankful. However the Lord dealt with your heart this morning, you be obedient to Him. You need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in baptism. Maybe your Lord's dealing with your heart about joining our church. You just be obedient to Him. You come.